Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, how we praise thy name and thank thee for the year that has just gone by. For we have seen and have tasted thy goodness and thy grace in our lives. We have experienced thy mercy and thy help. And Lord, our hearts are grateful to thee that thou art our God, the living and true God, who watches over us, who keeps our way, and who leads us finally home to heaven itself. And so, Lord, we thank thee that you have proven yourself to be a most trustworthy God. You are our rock and our salvation. And we thank thee, Lord, for Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And surely Christmas is still fresh in our minds. For Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, came to save us from our sins. And Lord, we want to thank thee again. And we remember his birth. And not only his birth, but we also remember his life and his death for us on the cross. And the blood that he shed for us. And now we look ahead and we look forward to his soon return. Surely the Lord Jesus is coming back very soon. And Lord, we pray that our hearts might be right with thee. Our hearts might be prepared when the Lord Jesus returns and comes back. And so as we begin this new year, O Lord, this first day of the new year, we thank thee that we can be found in thy house. We thank thee that you have brought us here. And how we want to consecrate our lives and rededicate our lives unto thee. O Lord, cleanse us from all our sins and wash us. And make us whole and make us new again. Heal our sicknesses. Heal us from all our diseases, both our physical and spiritual sicknesses and diseases. And make us whole, that we might truly praise thy name, that we might truly glorify thy name, that we might serve thee even till the day the Lord comes back. And help us, Lord, to work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work, and the night is coming very soon. How this world will get from bad to worse. And how, Lord, thy kingdom must come. And so we pray that thy kingdom may come soon. Lord, we pray for True Life Bible Presbyterian Church. You have carried us through these last couple of years. We pray for this year that has just come. That this year might be a meaningful and a fruitful year. That we might sow the good seed of the good news of Jesus Christ in many hearts. And we pray that thy Holy Spirit might work, that the good seed sown might truly bear forth good fruit for thee, that we might see lost souls being saved and being brought into thy kingdom to fill this sanctuary, that they might learn from thy truth and grow in their faith as we minister to them the whole counsel of God. We pray for all our children. They are precious in thy sight. And we pray, Lord, that they might grow up to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for all our teachers who teach the children faithfully thy truth. May you fill them with thy spirit, and every lesson they prepare might be a lesson that will be very rich in thy truth, that the children might know who the Lord Jesus is, and what thou requirest of them in thy word. We pray for our young people, that in the midst of this very seductive world, they might resist all temptation. They might resist the devil, and surely he will flee from us. Draw us close, O Lord, to thyself. We need thee. We need thee every hour. Bless our pastor, the elders and the deacons, that as we again plan for this year, we may plan your plans. We may seek thy will and do what is pleasing in thy sight. And so, Lord, as we open thy word this morning, to see how thou art our unfailing deliverer, may you speak to us. And so we commit ourselves into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please keep your Bible open to Psalm 40, which we have just read as our responsive reading. Last night we had our watch night service. Last night we greeted one another with a Happy New Year, and this morning as well. And we wish we would have a Happy New Year. We wish to have happiness, don't we? Can we have happiness in this world? Can we find happiness in this unhappy world? We wish we can have happiness. But we know that this life is full of problems and trouble. And I think all of us will agree that the year that has just gone by has not been an easy year for most of us, if not all of us. We have gone through difficult, tough and rough patches in the last year. We might have lost our jobs. We might have lost our loved ones. We might have fallen ill. All these things bring unhappiness in our lives. Can we be truly happy in this world, in this unhappy world that we live in? Of course, the good news is yes. If we have God in our lives, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Nevertheless, the psalmist tells us, and what he says is true. In Psalm 90, which we have read last night, in Psalm 90 verse 10, we read, "The days of our years are threescore years and ten. And if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow." And even as Christians, when we live in this world, we are living in a sin-cursed world. We are living in a world that is full of evil and wickedness. And we face many trials and many temptations. You know this very well. We face many difficulties and hardships in life, in our places of work, in our relationships, with family, with friends, with colleagues. We ourselves face many temptations and are plagued by our own sins. And then we struggle with ill health and sicknesses too, and other human weaknesses. So we share our sorrows, we shed our tears. And as we have heard last night, this world is not a pleasure but a pressure cooker. We are living in a pressure cooker world. Go through a whole lot of stress in the working world, in family life, in our spiritual struggles. And when we walk away from the Lord, and when we walk astray from Him, well, that's where we become miserable. And that's why we have gone through many a valley experiences, many a valley experience, because we have walked away from the Lord. And so we suffer such grief and pain because of our own sins, our backsliding from the Lord. And the world shouts Money, money, money. When the world shouts money, everybody listens, right? Everybody hears. Money is God. And sometimes I receive phone calls from the bank. And they call me up to urge me to invest. They have this scheme and that scheme, and they ask you to invest. And I always reply, not interested. And they persist. Same reply, not interested. Not interested. And then there was one gentleman who, one of these calls, and he said, aren't you interested in money? Don't you want to make more money? I said, no, not interested. I want to keep my life simple. So they always feel very frustrated with me. Don't let the world frustrate you. You frustrate the world. Don't follow the ways of the world, the seduction of the world, the temptation of the world. The world shouts money, and sometimes we fall into the trap of their temptation and their seduction. But the still small voice of God says, be still and know that I am God. Listen to that voice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Listen to that voice. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Obey it. Have this as the philosophy of your life. Don't let the world frustrate you. Don't let the world shout you down and out. Sometimes the one that shouts louder gets the upper hand, and then we follow. We fall into the trap. And then we suffer the consequences of it. Listen rather, dear friends, to the still small voice of God that will only lead to goodness, to success, and true prosperity. Well, life is not easy. The strength of our days and years are labor and sorrow. Life is not easy. The Christian life is harder still to live a godly life for the Lord. And as believers, we have a God in heaven. And we can cry out to Him for forgiveness and deliverance when we fall into sin. We can cry out to Him for wisdom and strength to live our Christian life successfully. And so the psalmist here says in verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Why does the psalmist wait patiently for the Lord? He says, yeah, I waited patiently for the Lord. Why does he wait patiently for the Lord? It is because the psalmist knows that God's timing is always right. God's timing is always perfect. And we wait on his timing to do that which is good and right. And we know that God is also very patient with us. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9, we are told that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And so God is very patient with us, even with our enemies. And He wants us to repent of our ways, to come before Him, that He might forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our wicked ways. And set our paths aright unto righteousness. And that's why he's very patient with us. That's why he doesn't judge us immediately. He waits. And so we also should wait on the Lord. And we know that he will hear our cry. He's a God who answers prayers. We have a living God who hears, who acts, who answers prayers. But many a time we are impatient with the Lord. In times of hardships, difficulties, pressure and stress, we are quick to complain. We are quick also to quit. We want to run away from our trials and our testings that we face in this life. To run away from our problems. And we think that by running away, that's a solution to our problems and our troubles. Nothing can be further from the truth. The solution, dear friends, is not to run away from our problems, but to run towards God, to seek Him, to seek His face, to pray to Him. And we have a God who cares for us, who delights to hear us pray to Him, to ask from Him His help, so that He might be true and real in our lives, that we might experience Him for who He truly is. You know, the FEBC book room, since last year, had gone through quite a rough time. But I see the good hand of the Lord upon us. And we prayed. And the Lord sends the right people. And those who labor in the book room, they labor with the love of God in their hearts. And so, just before the new year began, the book room has been overhauled. The book room has all its books updated and set in order. And the stock taking, which was a huge task, was finally completed. Completed only just yesterday. And so we thank the Lord for all those who have worked very hard. They did not say, oh, all these difficulties are so insurmountable. Yes, humanly speaking, looks impossible to meet the deadline. But when we do our best, and then we pray to the Lord, He helps us. And He answers our prayers. And no one in the book room thought of quitting. But all with single-mindedness, with love for God and love for His Word and for the ministry, they labored for Him and put the book room back into shape. So I pray this year may be a happy year for the book room. And we are going to order in more good books so that God's people might be blessed with good teaching through literature. So we praise the Lord for that. So we wait patiently on the Lord. And we crowd to Him, and He will answer our prayers. As our pastor says, self-help with God's help is the best help. And God helps us when we seek Him in prayer. We know that our God is the living and true God. And He's always ready to hear our prayers when we cry out to Him in sincerity and in truth. So we ought not to be impatient with God. Nor with men. Sometimes we pray and the Lord doesn't answer immediately. Don't get impatient with God, because we don't know the future. God knows the future. God knows the right time to act, the best time. And so we wait on Him. We ought not to be impatient with the Lord. And we ought not also to be impatient with men. Wait on the Lord. And let Him act on our pleas in His own good time. And He will surely deliver us from our troubles. And if we have sinned against the Lord, well, we cannot run away from our sins and our transgressions. There are consequences to our sins. And the only solution is to confess our sins, beg the Lord for forgiveness, repent of our ways, and make right the wrong that we have done. And the Lord can save us. No matter how deep a hole we have dug for ourselves, God can save us and rescue us. Verse 2 tells us this. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Many a time we find ourselves in the quicksand of sin and transgression. But instead of crying out to the Lord for help, we use the wisdom of our sinful mind. We use the methods of the wicked world to try to wriggle our way or slither our way out of our troubles and our problems and the consequences of our sin. And the more we try to save ourselves from the mess that we have found ourselves in, through all these unholy means, we find ourselves sinking deeper in quicksand and in the miry clay. Unless we confess our sins, unless we repent of our ways, the more we will be in trouble, the more we will sink in, and we will not get out. But the moment we cry out to the Lord in humility and repentance, the Lord forgives us. That's where salvation comes. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 tells us, He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our God is a God of holiness, of justice, of goodness and truth. And we shall rejoice and praise His name when we confess our sins, He forgives us of our sins and set us on the right path again. Then we will rejoice. We will praise His name. And He will place us on the firm foundation of the solid rock, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so verse 3 tells us, when we seek help from the right place, from the solid rock on which we must stand, then we will have a new song in our lips, in our hearts. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And so when the Lord has lifted us up, has rescued and saved us, do we forget Him? No, we must thank Him. A forgetful heart is an unthankful heart. A forgetful heart is an ungrateful heart. And many a time the Lord has saved us from our troubles. When we pray to Him, He answers our prayers. And once we are rescued, we are saved, we soon forget. We don't even think to give thanks to Him. Well, the psalmist here did not forget. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And of course, this new song is a song we sing because we are now so happy that we have been delivered. And so we give a fresh testimony. We have a fresh testimony to give. A new song to sing. And we cannot keep quiet. We must share the goodness of the Lord and how we have experienced His goodness in our lives. And this we see in our prayer meetings, in our fellowship meetings, where we have testimony time. What a wonderful time. Come to prayer meeting and you will taste of the goodness of the Lord in a real sense, where doctrines are put in flesh, because not only is the Word of God preached, but we have testimonies that speak of how God is true and how God is alive and how God hears and answers our prayers. And so we have many who have given their testimonies. And they rejoice over the fact that God has delivered them and how the Lord has saved them out of difficult and dangerous situations. Well, these testimonies that we share are the new songs that are in our mouths, the praise that are in our lips, and our testimonies will cause many to fear the Lord. Many shall see it, shall see that the Lord is good, the Lord is true, the Lord hears and answers prayers. They shall see it. They shall see the truth, and they shall fear Him. It will cause many to fear the Lord. Many shall see it and fear. They will fear God. They will learn now to trust in Him. And they would want now to draw close to Him because they also want to experience the same goodness, the same God that you have experienced in your lives. So testimonies are very important. Testimonies are powerful witnesses to the truth and the reality of God. Is God true and real in your lives? Do you experience Him? Our religion, the Christian religion, is not only a religion of the Word, of the written Word. It is a religion of spiritual experiences. Do we experience God in our lives? Do we have a new song to sing? Do we have a fresh testimony to give? So if the Lord has blessed you, heard your prayer, I think you owe the Lord to come to prayer meeting and give a testimony for Him. And these are the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." This is the new song that we sing, a fresh testimony that we give, a powerful witness to the truth and the reality of God in our lives and in our experience with Him. That the people might fear the Lord, might trust in Him, and love Him all the more. Verse 4 says, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." When we trust the Lord and seek His counsel and His wisdom, we are blessed. We are blessed indeed. But if we learn from the proud, and many a time we are tempted to go to the proud, to trust in the rich and the powerful, we seek those who boast of their wealth and their prowess and their influence. And we think that they have something that is tangible. Visibly, they are rich and powerful men. We seek for that which is visible and tangible, instead of that of the one who is invisible and all-powerful. And if we seek and we respect the proud and trust in their riches and their prowess or their influence to save us, we will be sorely disappointed. If we seek the Lord, we will be blessed. But if we seek the proud, those who turn aside to lies, for this is the way of the world, the way of deceit and deception. And if we seek to save ourselves from our troubles by all these methods of the world, which are wicked and evil, to such as turn aside to lies, who spin lies and tell tales, who conspire and cheat, and we think that by doing all these things, we will save ourselves and cover our sins up, we are cursed. But if we seek the Lord, we seek His truth, we seek to do things His way, then we are truly blessed indeed. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Verse 5 says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Yes, it is so good to trust in the Lord. Who is mightier than our Lord? Not the rich and the powerful. The Lord is all powerful. The Lord is richer than all. and we can go to Him. Have we ever tried counting all the blessings we have received from the Lord? Count them one by one. I think we would have lost count. We would lose count. His blessings are so many. And so let us not take all these blessings of the Lord for granted. How many times the Lord has forgiven us of our sins? How many? Can you count them? We cannot count them. How bounteous are His mercies, how He has forgiven us. And so let us never take the Lord for granted. If we have taken the Lord for granted past year, let us not take the Lord for granted this new year. Remember Him all the time, every day. And last night we were encouraged once again, remember the Lord every day. When we wake up in the morning, seek His face. Remember Him. Pray to Him. Praise His name at the end of the day. And then we will have happiness in our lives, despite all the troubles that we will go through in life. Verses 6 to 8. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You know, God is not so concerned about what we can give Him in terms of our church attendance, our church work, our tithes and our offerings. He is interested in our hearts. We thank the Lord for members here who love the Lord who give. But the Lord is not interested in all our substance, all the activities that we perform, or the duties that we fulfill. The things that we do for Him with our hands, with our feet, with our lips. He is not interested in our hands as much as He is interested in our hearts. That must be right first. You know, I remember when I was in the army. I worked hard, I did my best. But was my heart there? When I was doing my national service, some of you are going into national service very soon. Andrew, I believe, is going in a couple of weeks' time. We do our best for the Lord because we are Christians. But was my heart there? No, my heart wasn't there. I could not wait to get out of the army. And when I got out of the army, I went into Bible college. I could not wait to get into Bible college. My heart was there. And that is what the Lord wants of us. Not what we can do for Him, not our deeds, not our givings. He wants our heart. He wants us to love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Not so much our hands, but our hearts. Have we given Him our hearts? We may be busy doing many things for the Lord. But how about our heart? Is it totally sold and given to Him? That we have this love for the Lord, this joy in Him, this delight in Him. Just like the psalmist says here, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And so when I was in Bible college, well, those years were the best years of my life. Because I delight, Lord, to do thy will. I know thy will was for me to be trained to serve you in the full-time ministry. Your law is within my heart. And I delight to study thy word more and more and deeply and devotionally and reverentially. Do you have this kind of heart? When you read God's word, does the word of God burn in your heart? Or is it just a routine? I have to read so many verses of the Bible today. And so I read the verses, I perform my duty, and that's it. Our hearts. Do our hearts burn for the Lord? The Bible to us should not be just a book. The Bible is our life. It's our life. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And that's why the psalmist says in another place, in Psalm 19, verse 7 to 10, and you may want to turn to it, it's just a few pages back in your Bible. Can we say the same like the psalmist who says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. How the word of God has changed my life, converted me, transformed me. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Lord has given me wisdom. Many things I can't solve, whether at home, at work, or play, at school. And I sought the Lord. I sought Him in prayer. I sought Him in His Word. And He gave me the wisdom to make the right decision. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verses 9 to 10. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. If you know God's word, you love God's word, you know the good news, you know the good word, you cannot keep it to yourself, you will tell it. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. You see, when you love the Lord Jesus, you will tell the whole world about it. I remember when, as a young boy, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. I was so happy. Immediately when I went home, I ran back home and told my parents about it. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and prayed the sinner's prayer, and I know I'm saved. You cannot help but to tell of the good news and the salvation you have received. When I went to school the next day, I did not wait to tell my best friend about Jesus Christ and how I have believed on Christ and my classmates. You will tell it. You cannot hide it. You cannot keep quiet. You cannot be silent. You will tell. Just like the Christmas carol that the choir sang, tell it on the mountain. We'll tell it on the highest place so that everyone will know. In those days when I had a free time, I would spend it in church, helping out in this and that, folding the bulletins, doing odd jobs. I just love to be found in the house of the Lord. And, you know, when I learned that the Bible is not only perfectly inspired, but perfectly preserved, every word to the last iota, to the jot and tittle, that we have a forever infallible and inerrant scriptures, that was good news to me. Thus saith the Lord, it is written, it stands perfectly written. We have the very word of God today. I could not keep quiet. I had to tell this good news that I have learned from His good word. I had to preach it. I was so happy. I had to teach it. I had to share it. I could not keep silent. I must tell it. And the same was experienced by Reverend Dr. Mark Kim of the Bible College of East Africa when he heard a sermon on the inspiration and the preservation of the scriptures. That our Bible is not only infallible and inerrant in the past, it is infallible and inerrant even today. He says, I was born again and again. Born thrice. He was so glad, so happy, like a born again experience for him. And the members of a new Bible Presbyterian Church, the newest, called Truth BP Church, and they will be having their first service, their inaugural service, this afternoon at 2 p.m., Calvary Pandan. Well, they are also very happy. They name their church Truth because they have found the truth. And they believe the same as we do. And so in their invitation card, they wrote these words. They could not keep quiet. They could not keep silent. They had to tell it. And so they say, "We praise and thank God for the birth of this new gospel work that stands for the perfect word of God in our hands today. And we look forward to having you with us." They want to tell it on the mountain. You cannot keep silent. You want to tell this good news. And they have taken a declared position for the truth. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, my promises, every one of them will not," the Lord says. Verses 11 and 12 tells us, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and the truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me." Living the Christian life is not a bed of roses. And when we want to live for the Lord, as the Lord went through a lot of persecution and opposition for the truth that He stood for and He preached, we can also expect the same. If our Lord went through, how much more we? We have enemies to contend with, and enemies from without, enemies from within. We too are our own enemies because of our sins and our error. And we face many dangers. And there are many temptations. There are many falsehoods. So we must constantly pray for God's protection. And what is comforting to know is that He will preserve us. He has promised to preserve us, and we will never be lost. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 tells us, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And the Lord encouraged Joshua with His word and with His presence. Joshua 1, 8 to 9, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Joshua, when you go and enter into the promised land, there will be many, many dangers, many difficulties. The fortresses of the Canaanite cities are huge and large and high. Indeed, there were giants in the land. And the Israelites were like grasshoppers. But the Lord told him, "Take hold of my book. Remember my promises. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee?" Don't forget the commandments of the Lord. He has promised us many things. He has also commanded us many things that we ought to do. Remember His promises. Remember His commandments. Then be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Many a time our heart will fail us. Our heart is so frail, so weak, so sinful. And so we must trust in the Lord and in His word. For the Lord and His word can never and will never fail us. Every word of God is true. Every word of God is pure. And He has promised, "I will be with you always." even unto the end of the world. What more do we need in this life? All we need is His forever, infallible, inerrant word. All we need is His everlasting presence in our lives. That's all we need to face this world, this very unhappy world that we live in, to find happiness in life, in the Lord and in His word. And so the prayer is made. Verses 13 to 15. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Well, who are those who seek to destroy our soul and our testimony? Our arch enemy is none other than the devil. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's on the prowl. He wants to eat us up, but we will not allow him. And the other enemies that we have are the agents of the devil himself. False prophets, false teachers. And that's why we are warned by the Lord in Matthew 7 verse 15. Beware. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They are not easily recognizable. They are disguised. Watch out. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. And there are those within the church whom Paul calls false brethren. We are faced with all these dangers. And they have crept in unawares to seek to distract, to distress, and to destroy our souls. They are false accusers who say, aha, aha. That is false accusation. And who is an expert, a specialist in false accusation? The devil himself. For he is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12 verse 10 tells us. And he falsely accused by spreading lies, right? Telling untruths. Because the truth of God is impossible to destroy. You cannot destroy the truth. Truth will always stand. And so what does he do? He will invent lies. He will paint white as black and black as white. And Satan hopes that by telling enough lies, you will think that it is true. And so he smears the good name also of God's people, hoping that if they destroy the reputation and the good testimony of God's people, he might also destroy the truth, the good word that they preach and they teach. Well, that is his tactic, right? His method. Don't worry. God preserves us. As God has preserved His word, so He will preserve His saints. Right? We don't have to worry. We just keep trusting the Lord. And people may call you extreme, may call you a heretic even, but you are in good company. I mean, if they call Jesus, you've done all these things. Jesus preached the good news. He performed many miracles. How he did good for the people and showed compassion and mercy to them, and yet he was accused. You do all these things by the power of the devil. And people may call you all kinds of names. Schismatics or heretics, extreme, fools. Whatever. But you're in good company. You know, in the Reformation, Martin Luther, who taught that salvation, who taught the truth, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone. And the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church, branded him a heretic. And so the Pope wrote a papal decree to condemn Martin Luther as a heretic and that his books ought to be burned. And this was delivered personally to Luther. And Luther, when he read the papal bull or the papal decree, gathered his congregation together and made a bonfire. And he told the people, "This is the papal decree, but it is not the Pope that has excommunicated me. I want you to know I have excommunicated the Pope." And forthwith he cast that papal bull into the fire. What a great victory for truth. It is not what people think of us that matters. It is what God thinks of us that counts. For we are here not to please anyone, not any man, but God and God alone. So in the new year, there may be dangers ahead, trials and testings that you will face in life, and many temptations that will try to make us to stray away from the Lord, to backslide. How should we respond? Verses 16 to 17. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, "The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, and thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Look up to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Study his word. Keep our daily devotions. Pray constantly. Rejoice and be glad in him. Long for him. Desire to do his will. Delight thyself in him. Love his salvation. Be grateful to him for saving you from sin. Trust in him always and not in man. Magnify him. Glorify his name and his name alone. Live by faith, not by sight. Put him first in your life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Seek the Lord. Rejoice in him. Be glad in him. Love his salvation continually. Let his name be magnified in your life. And always think of yourself as poor and needy. Always poor and needy. We are always poor and needy people. We need the Lord every day. And he is our help and our deliverer. And he cannot fail. And when he helps, when he rescues us, he will do so swiftly. And so we cry out to him, "Make no tarrying, oh my God." Is he your God? No, this prayer can only be made if you have the Lord as your God. Is the Lord of the Bible, is the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, your God? Can you say, "He is my God? Be my help and my deliverer"? If you are not a believer right now, you're still outside God's kingdom, and Jesus is not your Lord, you make him your Savior today. Then can you pray like this? "Oh my God, save me." For if you don't have this God to save you, you are alone. You are in this quicksand, this miry clay, and you will sink deeper into it as you struggle through life. You will die in your sin. You will be drowned in your sin. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ and you cry, "I'm poor. Lord, I need you. Be my helper and my deliverer." He will save you. He will lift you up. He'll put you on solid ground, on solid rock that is none other than Christ. And then he will carry you through. He will preserve you. And you can really cry out to him, not only, "Oh my God," but, "Oh my Father in heaven." And we have become his children. This world, will it be a happy year ahead of us? Well, this world is unpredictable. When I was in the bank again the other day, again they try to sell you all these things. Put your money here, put your money there. I say, "I want to keep my life simple." And I told this lady, "Life is unpredictable. You do not know what will happen in the world this new year, 2006. Another tsunami? Another great earthquake? A flu pandemic? War? And everything will be back to square one, isn't it? Another economic crisis? Who knows? We are living in a bad news world. We are living in an unhappy world. So we find good news only in the Lord, and we are happy only in His presence. Don't be found outside His word and His presence. And let us not think that we are so clever with our calculations. We are so clever with our foresight and our planning. Nothing can go wrong because we have exhausted, you know, all factors. And we think that, oh, we have charted a good course for ourselves. Oh, don't be so sure that with our clever calculations and planning, things cannot go wrong. We must confess that we are poor and needy. We need our Lord desperately. And not only He is our help and our deliverer. And the psalmist tells us that the Lord will come and rescue us quickly. He will not wait. And we should pray the same prayer. The Lord is coming back soon. Pray, Lord, come quickly. And the Lord says in Revelation 22, verse 20, surely I come quickly. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we begin this new year, we begin with a lot of uncertainties, burdens in our hearts and our minds. And we want to cast our burdens and our cares on Thee. Help us, Lord, not to worry, but to trust in Thee. And we pray, Lord, for a peaceful year. We pray for a happy year in Thee, to be found in Thy will and doing Thy work. And we look forward, Lord, to the day that the Lord Jesus will return. We long for the day of resurrection, the day of rapture, the day when Jesus comes back. So, Lord, come soon. In His name we pray. Amen.